A very good morning, everybody, and welcome to yet another edition of our show, The Open Book. Now, well, right here, it is Thursday morning if you're listening to us live on Cliff Central. But whatever day that you are in, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it, because we know that His mercies endure forever and that they are new every single morning. So I think, you know, if you woke up today and you're still breathing, you must know that, you know, that that God still has a purpose for you. So, brighten up and enjoy the show with us. This is The Open Book. The Open Book deals with the fact that there are just so many issues that that Christians have to deal with on a daily basis, and we can listen to as many people giving us advice, or we can read so many books, but at the end of the day, we need to come back to get an answer from the Constitution, which is the Bible. So we're going to deal on those issues, and I think it's really just sort of up to you to take this and to make an informed decision on what it is that you're going to, you can actually make a choice on what it is that you're going to do in terms of your life. Now, today I've got a very interesting subject indeed. But before I go into that, I want to just speak about the fact that we have, well, for those of you who don't know, actually, here it is. Okay, let me start again. So it's only my second show, so I'm just still kind of getting into this. We have different, you know, like there's so many phrases and words that that we as Christians use in our daily lives, and if you're always in a Christian circle, you'll kind of get used to these as if it's just a normal way of speaking. But to the person outside there, they probably don't know what it is that you're talking about. And we've come to call this language Christianese. You know, it's the things that we talk about that only mean something to us, but really kind of nothing else to anybody out there. Now, these are usually derived of words and phrases such as blessed. You know, we use words like blessed. We use words like sanctified. We use words like glory, and we also use the word, what other word is there? Like, we use the words like, you know, like anointed, like, you know what, Janine Price is one of my guests today. It's like, you know what, there was really an anointed performance that you did today. Mm-hmm. So the question is, what does that actually really mean? But I want to take the word blessed, for instance. I'll go on Twitter and I'll see a message that says, my new car arrived today, # I'm blessed. So does that mean that just because I don't have a new car and I've been praying for a car that I'm not blessed? We've actually got to kind of go back and see what the Bible says about this word blessed, so that we don't use, you know, words like that out of context. And this takes me straight to Matthew chapter 6, where Jesus is doing a sermon on the mount. And he says the following. He says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. It says, blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the peacemakers. And one that we never like to hear as Christians is, blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness. In other words, for those who stand for the truth, and thus they are persecuted. We've got to just think of the disciples, the fact that each of them died a horrible death, standing up for something that they believed in. So blessed in this context doesn't say anything about the hard workers, doesn't say anything about those who've just received new cars, mm-hmm. or even those who have won awards. Oh, I've just won an award today. Oh, praise God, I am blessed. So have we maybe missed the true meaning of what it is to be blessed? Or rather, have we missed the true meaning of all these words that we just so loosely throw around? I don't know. I guess it will probably be a subject for another day, and something that we need to speak about and bring out at another time. So with these misconceptions today, I want us to focus on a word, and this word is worship. Exactly what worship means, because Before I started reading my Bible, yes, I was a Christian, but there are many Christians who don't actually go and open this book. This is called the open book. Many Christians don't actually go and open this book to learn something about it. I thought that worship was only what, you know, it meant things that are done only at a church service. It even meant idolization. It meant prayer or even religion. That's why I'll be like, yeah, let's go to a place of worship. We sometimes would call a church a place of worship. But the Bible says this about worship. And in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, it says, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice." In other words, offering everything that you are as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. So worship is actually offering your everyday life to God. The Message Bible says, so here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday life, ordinary life, your sleeping, your eating, you're going to work. For some of you, maybe, you know, who get stuck in traffic and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. This is your true and proper worship. So, yeah, welcome to the open book. And today our subject is worship as a lifestyle. We just got a message on our WeChat from Nathan. Nathan says, "Thank God for your show, Loy." I think Nathan knows who I am because not a lot of people call me Loy. And it says, "Help," capital letters, H-E-L-P, "help my girlfriend, whom I love dearly. But lastly, she's under the impression that God is punishing her. Does God punish us?" I've got Pastor Johan Breda in the house today, and I'll ask him that question a bit, you know, like a little bit later on. So Nathan, yeah, just keep it locked, and we'll give you the answer to your question. You know, does God punish? Let's get on with it. Our subject today is worship. It's worship as a lifestyle. The first time I came across, you know, I came across the word worship was in the music context, because I believe that, you know, that it's in a time of worship, and music is one of the tools that we've been given in order to worship God, and that it's in a time of worship that we connect with God, because in everything that glorifies God, God shows up, you know, because when blessings go up, praises come down, and that God, you know, inhabits the praises, which is worship. God inhabits the praises of his people. So it's in a time when we give ourselves to God that God is magnified in our lives. Once again, another Christianese word, magnified. What does the word magnified actually means? Does it mean that God gets bigger? No. If you look at anything through the magnifying glass, it doesn't change what the subject looks like. It just makes the subject clearer to you. Mm-hmm. So in other words, you know, God's get revealed in our eyes, you know, to us in a time of worship. And speaking about music, I've got a good friend of mine, a great friend of mine, actually. Her name is Janine Price. You know, Janine has been such an inspiration in my life, since the time that I was called to do worship music. I remember us sort of, you know, standing at the back, about to go on and worship, and I'll be asking Janine all these questions. So what do I need to do at this point? And Janine has all the answers because she has so much experience as a worship leader. She's a singer-songwriter. She's great on the piano, and also a great singer. She's a mother to four. Really? I mean, even just this morning, she had to go drop off four of her kids to school. I've got one who doesn't go to school, and for me, it's kind of like, that's already a lot of work. Now imagine now when we start school with just that one, and we're hoping for another one. But anyway, I guess Janine will be there to answer all my questions. Thank you, Nini. Welcome, Janine, to the open door.
Oh, so cool, man. Congratulations on the great show.
Thank you so much. Thank you. So Janine, first question, what does it mean to be a worship leader?
Well, I think, first of all, the term worship leader is I think a term that's quite widely used, and maybe not always in connection with the Bible. You don't see that term worship leader in the Bible, actually.
Yeah.
What they do talk about is maybe a song leader. And I think being a worship leader is just basically someone that has a vision of, in a service and with music related, has a vision of where that journey is taking you to. You know, kind of if you look at the Bible where it says the people come in from wherever they are. So you have people on all walks of life that come into church, and you kind of got to have the ability to gather them all in one mind and to kind of start making this journey, which the end result is always to meet with God and to have a time in His presence. And that is where we become fulfilled, and a lot of our questions are answered, and we find hope, and we find hope again, you know. And I think that's so crucial in life. And so a worship leader or a song leader is just maybe someone that knows the road.
Yeah,
they have the map. They're standing with the map, and they kind of go, I know where we should go, and let's walk this way. And so I think it's a very simple thing, you know. I think there are obviously some skills and things involved with that, but I do believe that it is just a really simple thing, you know.
And how does a worship leader's life sort of differ to the congregants? In other words, the people who are being led in worship. How can one know that? Okay, cool. I think I am. Or, I mean, like, how can one prepare to become a worship leader or song leader, as you put it?
Yeah, to be a worship leader, first of all, you got to understand that we are all worshipers. So there's nothing that's different from me and you, or the person that's maybe sitting in their car listening, or in church. You know, we are all worshipers. You know, and I think that you got to look at the task of being a worship leader and the lifestyle of a worshiper. When you are tasked to be a worship leader, there's obviously a lot of preparation and things that goes into it. And like I said about the vision, is that you got to understand where you want to take the people, you know. A lot of times, you know, you often have to be in a time of prayer and kind of, you know, kind of speaking to God about, you know, what is He trying to say to us? You know, is there a specific message that He wants to bring across to the people? And then that's up to you to basically be in a place where you're prepared enough to actually, you know, bring that message across. So, yeah, I think the preparation, the difference between the two is maybe just in the preparation and the function of a worship leader more than a worshiper, you know?
Yeah. And also, and then how important is it, how important is the leading? I mean, who leads and guides you? How do you know whether, okay, cool, the Holy Spirit is saying that I need to now do this, for instance, you know, because all worship leaders out there, they want to know that they're doing the right thing that God is saying that they need to do. So what is it that they must do in order to follow, you know, to make sure that they're doing exactly what the Holy Spirit is leading them to do?
Well, ultimately, you know, you want to give glory to God.
Yeah.
And if whatever you are busy doing is pointing to Him, then I think that is the goal always, you know. But I think maybe a lot of times we have people up there that are looking for something for themselves, you know, and they're trying to manufacture something, or they're trying to maybe put on a show, or you know, look at it more from a professional perspective. The thing at the end of the day is, if it points to God, if it glorifies God, or if it makes Him great in our lives in that moment, that is the purpose. That is the success. That is when you know, you look, I can drop the mic now and I can walk off stage, because people are seeing God. They're not seeing me anymore.
Absolutely. And yeah. I guess, you know, and I guess the best way that people can see God is if you sing the truth.
Yeah.
Because I just find
if you live the truth, if you sing the truth, you speak it and you live it. You know, I think that there's a lot of that's contradicting. You know, people say, well, I worship God, and then on Monday morning, hey, yeah, the week starts and it's a completely different story. But, you know, really to be a worship leader for me personally is to be a worship leader in my home. You know, and honestly, last night when I was thinking about these things, I just thought, you know, God, I need to scratch up on this year in my life. You know, we sometimes forget, you know, that it's not just a thing you do out there on a Sunday morning or whenever you on stage.
Yeah.
It's something that we live, you know, and that's always the challenge.
Yeah, because I mean, like, I know of non-Christians who want to become Christians. Guys will say, yeah, you know, the thing is, I go to church and I see all these people acting also perfectly before God. And then come Tuesday, that same person who invited me to church is acting, you know, like is acting different as somebody else.
Mm.
And whereas, like, you know, I believe that the service, the gathering of the saints, here's another Christianese thing, the gathering of the saints, is supposed to prepare us to be able to live out that worship during the week.
Mm.
It's sort of like, you know, when the Bible speaks about the fact that, you know, faith without works is sort of useless.
Mm.
It's not saying that you need to add works to faith, but what it's saying, but what it's saying is that if you have faith, it's supposed to lead to you live, living a righteous life. And as a worship leader, you know, myself, when people obviously don't go on to grow, do we need to take responsibility for that?
Do you mean that when people as worship leaders don't grow? Or
no. What I mean is that, like, obviously the congregate is not growing. Do we need to take? Yeah.
Well, I think you need to look at, you know, what did you experience in the presence of God? Because if you are not being changed, if you're in a worship session and God is not busy dealing with you, then I would doubt what your purpose was for that, because you cannot be in a place where God is and he's busy speaking to you and touching you and edifying you and lifting you up and walk out the same. I mean, how is that possible, you know? And I think that a lot of times that, you know, in the week, maybe our vision becomes clouded. You know, you're surrounded by a lot of stress and issues in your life, and sometimes we forget where our strength comes from, you know. And I believe that's in those moments where you need to kind of turn back and go, well, hang on a minute, let me just find out where I'm at and find out where God is in my life right now. And I believe that at that moment right there, that's worship.
Mm.
It's where you're kind of centering yourself back to where God is, you know, and the peace that he gives us in that troublesome situation.
Mm, mm.
And that moment where you can just kind of be still and say, God, I know you got my back. You got this.
Yeah.
And that truly is the crux of worship right there.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, you know, worship is a lifestyle. It's not just, you know, it's not just up to the guys standing up on the,
yes,
on the
please.
Stage. Let me use another Christianese word, standing up on the platform and leading worship. The thing is, you know, everybody's being led to worship. That's what, you know, that's what the book of Romans 12 verse 1 that I read earlier on, kind of tells us, that everybody, all of us are actually worshipers. I know I don't want to expand too much in it because I know that Pastor Johan Breda, has prepared a lot for us. So I don't want to kind of take words out of your mouth, but you know, this is a subject that is just so vast because it doesn't only deal with aspects of our life. You see, worship is not an event. It's a lifestyle. It's what we do. It's what we were made for. Just after this, I'm gonna bring Pastor Johan Breda into the conversation. So stick with us. Lifestyle of worship right here on Cliff Central. Come on, get in touch with us. Our number is 0861-555-189 or on Twitter at cliffcentral.com. We're also on Facebook, Cliff Central. But otherwise, we get your immediate messages when you send them to us on and the WeChat ID is Cliff Central. And we do have some messages that are coming through, which I'll get to them just a little bit later. Now, let me tell you my history you know, with worship. Mm-hmm. I've always, you know, coming up and growing up in a church, I've always believed that at some point I will actually do gospel music. I know that a lot of guys, they start off with gospel. Like if you speak to many singers out there, even guys, you know, in the secular market, they'll say, yeah, I started singing off at a church. I mean, take Katy Perry. For instance, it's like, what? I mean, if Katy Perry could have started off at a church, then I guess anybody could have, you know, like, it's no surprise that so many people started off at church. So, but for me, it was kind of the other way around. I knew that, you know, this is what I've been called to do and that one day I'll actually do that. But I just didn't feel that, obviously, that it was time during my career in music. It's been about 16 years now, but in 2010, I was sitting at church and Pastor Ray was up there and he said, if any of you feel that you are called to the ministry, in other words, to serve at a church, whether to sing as part of a band, whether to preach, whether to be a counselor, I suggest that right now that you go to Bible, you know, to Bible school. And then my question was, yeah, but if I'm going to do it later, why should I do it now? And funny enough, he actually answered me right away. It's the weirdest thing. Like a church when like someone speaks, it's like they're just speaking directly to you and answering your questions as you're answering them. And he said, so that by the time you start, you are equipped for what it is that you're going to do. So there I went to put my hand up. I was like, I don't know where I'm going to get the time to do this. And off I went to Rhema Bible School. And, the class that I was taking up was called A Heart of Worship, because I wanted to learn about this worship. I believe that music is threefold. It is the theory. It is the practical theory, as in like learning, you know, how to read and write. There's the practical side to it, like practicing and playing your instrument and singing. But then there's also the spiritual side to it, which is the word. And you need to be well equipped in all three of those areas in order to do your job well. So there I was in Heart of Worship, about to learn about worship. And on that first day, I was like, man, I think God tricked me into something. Here I am. I thought that I was going to come to improve in worship, but he's saying that no, I need to improve my lifestyle because worship is a lifestyle. Mm-hmm. And here today, I'm very honored to actually have my lecturer. You know, who was part of the trick that God was playing on me. Pastor Johan Breda, he's the pastor of a church called The Gathering, and really just a prominent worship director and worship leader himself. A great bassist, very musical family, that I don't think he came from a musical family like I did, but his entire family is musical. For any of you guys who know, what's his name again, your son?
Legan Bruno.
Oh, Legan. How can I forget Legan? Legan played drums for me at both my DVD recordings, and we've been traveling, you know, South Africa together. He's actually probably the top drummer that there is now. Actually, he's a drummer on Idols. So one of the best. And obviously Whitney as well, Legan's younger sister, who's equally talented. All came from the seed of this man right here. Pastor Johan Breda, thank you so much for making the time to be here.
Such an honor to be here. I am very blessed to be in this room, especially with one of my two favorite worshippers at the moment in my life. One that I've, Janine, obviously she knows, it goes without saying, we've worked together for couple of years, and it's like as if this was yesterday when I saw her for the first time, and when we did this downtown video in I don't know if she can remember, in an old dilapidated building in Johannesburg downtown.
Oh my God.
With Trevor Sampson.
That's, yes, I remember that, of course.
And she had on this, I mean, yeah, I see this big blue-eyed girl with an African dress attire.
Yeah, and I tend to do that every now and then.
I get introduced to Janine Price, and okay, Janine Price, this white girl, and then she opens her mouth.
Wow.
Then I knew it was a white girl trapped in a black body. A white girl.
A black girl trapped in a white
body.
Because she got the soul.
My
she
goodness.
Got soul.
That's and I am I'm honored and equally honored to be here with you, Louisa.
Yes, Pastor.
Awesome show. congratulations.
Thank you.
And it's an honor to be here and just to be a part of what God is doing in your life and in Janine's life, you know. And yeah.
Well, I mean, man. I feel like we're a part of what God was doing in your life, because without you, I wouldn't have been totally where I am right now. Okay, enough, yes. Enough about all of that, you know. Pastor Jay, what does worship mean to you?
Well, like we've all said a couple of times now already, worship, number one, is a lifestyle. I mean, it goes without saying. One thing that I've learned in my years of worshiping and understanding the Word of God for what it is the one thing that stands out for me is where I think we've lost it in terms of worship is the fact that a worshiper, number one, needs to be a seer.
A seer?
A seer.
Would you mind explaining what that?
What that means is you need to understand that you are a prophet.
Okay.
Before you're a singer.
Mm-hmm.
And if you go back to the book of Chronicles, you'll see there when David spoke about Asaph.
Yeah.
He spoke of him as a seer, as a prophet. And so it's important that when you are called to the ministry of worship, that you need to understand that God actually places the people that you are leading into worship into your hands.
Mm.
In other words, when you do go into that atmosphere of worship, you need to understand that people come in there with different needs.
Mm-hmm.
And when they come in to those different, you have the answers.
Mm.
Of those that come in, because if people come into a service or a gathering, as I'd like to call it,
yeah,
it's people come there because they want their needs met. Absolutely. And if you, as a lead worshiper, don't know what God is saying concerning that session, it's going to be difficult. People are going to leave the way they've come into that place.
Absolutely. You know, I believe that we're not, because you. When I do my R&B or pop sets, I go there and I kind of read what it is that, you know, that people are going to go crazy about.
Yeah.
And sometimes we make that mistake, you know, in time of worship. So
you kind
of
deal with,
like, you know what? Mm. Okay, cool. Let me not do this next song I was going to do right now. Let me do another song because I think I know, I think I know these kind of people.
Yes.
Maybe I read them wrong before I got on here, but I think they are these kind of people. And whereas and obviously just dealing with, you know, just dealing with worship music.
Yeah.
The fact is, if we actually declare, you see, the thing is, the word is eternal.
Yes.
The word is not in this realm, in this like time realm that we're in.
Yep.
But it's eternal. What it said about God, which is what we're singing about, it also says about God.
Correct.
On what He is going to become.
Mm.
So I guess, you know, when you say that we are worshippers in that sense, it means that, I mean, like, for instance, like when we sing about what God has done, it is also speaking about what God will do.
Exactly.
And because His word will always come true. So I guess in that sense, we are declaring the future.
Yeah.
And therefore, yeah, I guess I can understand why you actually say that we are prophets.
Yeah.
I mean, and it's a mind that we need to adapt.
Absolutely.
As worshipers.
Correct.
Actually, all people, you know, I believe that, like, all people should speak.
Of course.
The word.
Yeah. Oh,
absolutely.
You know, to your children, speak the word. Because at that time, you're becoming a you're becoming a prophet.
100%.
You know? But I'm not the pastor here. You are, so let me ask you.
Can I just say something on what he said? I think that's fabulous. I think in the same breath, you kind of got to be in a place, because I think a lot of times it can be overwhelming to get into a place and think, wow, I've got to try and answer everyone's question here, you know, and I've got to try and fulfill in all these needs. And I think what's cool about that is that you can let that whole pressure go, you know, and actually see it more as you are kind of like a channel, you know, who is ready to do the prophet work.
Exactly.
You know, to stand in a gap where you are like, okay, what is it, Holy Spirit, that you are saying to me right now for your people? You know, and if we can live our lives like that, not just on a stage, but literally the minute you get off the stage and actually start living that life of God. You know, this person sitting right next to me right now, you know, maybe they're in a financial, like, crisis. Mm. Maybe it'll just take maybe you, you know, taking 500 rand from your pocket and say, hey, dude, you know, let me just put this in your hand and, you know, whatever, you know. Or the person that's needy on the street, or that's where worship is in action.
Absolutely.
Worship in action is where we are starting to make a difference in other, where we forget about ourselves. And when we are busy focusing on the people around us that have needs. Because how can God live on this earth? He lives through us.
Yes, absolutely. Where His hands and His feet.
So if you don't go and live this worship life, then, okay, I'm asking, what are you doing then?
Absolutely. And yeah. I mean, you know, coming back to my point again of how God actually didn't want to improve the way that I sing, but he wanted to improve the way that I live.
Yes.
Yeah. Which means that it is, you know, it was not about God improving what I do on stage, but about what I do off stage.
Exactly.
So, and isn't it funny that the minute you fix that the thing on stage just shot up. It became like 10 times better. Yeah. Why? Because worship comes from home. It comes from your life.
Yes.
It doesn't live on a stage.
Mm.
It comes from your heart. It's your heart connecting to God. And when that thing is correct, you can literally stand on a stage and sing Nkosi Sikelele, and the presence of God will be there.
Absolutely.
Because it's your heart.
Absolutely.
It's our motive. God doesn't look at your actions. He looks at what you do.
Absolutely.
Your heart. Yeah. What is your heart saying? Yeah.
You know, I went to a worship conference last year, and obviously as a gospel singer, there were like all these guys that I absolutely admire, and I went there to kind of learn. Okay, cool. How did these guys, you know, do it to become so big in what they do and to do it so successfully? When I went there, those people that I really sort of admired, they weren't being treated like you, and they weren't acting like some of our, you know, like some of our artists would act at award ceremonies. They didn't have no bodyguards. They didn't shun people off. They were serving food. They were cleaning the place. And I saw right now, I looked and I said, you know what? And sort of like God dealt with me, because I looked at that and I was like, I don't need to improve the way that I sing or meet the right people. I need to improve the way that I serve.
Absolutely.
Because these people, because the Bible says that, you know, those who humble themselves will be exalted.
Mm-hmm.
And those who exalt themselves will be humbled.
That's a universal
thing.
But that is why I'm so blessed, you know, when it comes to the Word of God and the worship factor, is that he says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light.
Yeah.
Now, if God calls, those things that He calls, He provides for.
Mm.
So that's the whole thing. That's the important things of being called to worship. Because whatever is needed while you're worshiping will be supplied, because you've been called to do that very thing.
That is so true.
Because He says, my yoke, because my calling upon your life will be easy.
Yeah. It must be in a place of rest, you know,
absolutely,
where you realize it's not you doing it.
100%.
It's God living through you. And I think it connects a lot with the fact that you do what you love and you love what you do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like for instance, our engineer here today, Duncan, he's such a cool guy. Mm-hmm. He loves what he does and he puts his heart and soul into it, you know. And then actually, you know, bettering yourself in that area becomes easy. And becoming more effective in that area becomes easy. Why? Because you love it.
Yeah.
You want to learn more. You want to do better, you know. And I think it's the same for us that are in worship, you know. When your heart is in it, you mean, hey, this is not a problem. This is not difficult, man. This is just like, this is like breathing.
That reminds me. Okay. That reminds me of when you and I flew to Mtata. In that plane. Safe air plane, man, with the propellers.
All the flights to
Mtata. It was crazy. I was so scared. My goodness.
Yeah. I mean, it felt like the plane's going to go down any minute.
And how was your landing, by the way?
No, it was actually good, the landing, but the flight was terrible.
Yeah, it was terrible. Very windy.
But I rested in the fact that I knew that God has, you know, called us to go to Mtata, so you'll take us to Mtata.
Absolutely.
Regardless of the flight.
Yeah. If we crashed, we probably would have walked there.
There you go. Pastor Jay, coming back to you.
Yes, sir.
I mean, just kind of dealing with, you know, with scriptures in the Bible that speak about worship.
Yep.
And there's one part where Jesus is speaking to the woman at the well. I think she was a Samaritan. And he says, God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And truth.
Yeah.
And then I think it does actually say that, you know, like, there, you know, a time will come when those who worship him will worship him in spirit and truth.
Yeah.
I like to believe that we are living in that time.
Amen.
But maybe some of us have sort of, you know, we don't really quite understand what it means by that. You know, this Christianese verse needs some explanation. Would you mind just expanding on that?
Yeah, I think like you rightfully said, in that scripture is obviously found in John 4. 23, and it says, but the hour is coming, right? And now is.
Yeah.
Amen. And so I believe that, you know, our prep, and I mean, I was at Rhema for the best part of 32 years.
Wow.
And now I became a pastor after that. And all of those 32 years, I believe God has... preparation for what I'm doing now.
I've still got another 20 years.
and so the amazing part is when the Bible speaks about, but the hour is coming.
Mm.
The Bible speaks about that God has called you for a time such as
this. Yeah.
Amen. Then he also says that those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. So the question is, how do you wait?
Yeah.
How do you wait? What do you do while you're waiting? The Bible says that if you want to be great in heaven, you need to be a servant. You need to be a servant. That's what he says. And so that's one thing that we find hard to do as worshipers. You know, we want to get born again today and be on stage tomorrow.
Yeah. Absolutely.
But the thing is, God is looking for true worshipers. Mm. How do you become a true worshipper?
Yeah.
It starts by knowing him for who he is.
Yeah.
Because how do you worship something that you, or someone that you don't know?
Yeah. Because you start, because you start declaring
exactly
who he is. And 100% that is
through your worship.
That is worship. We got a call coming in. Okay. You guys will probably know who this is. Let me surprise them. Hello, sir.
Good morning. It's so good to hear you talk about a very important subject.
Thank you so much. And who are we speaking to? I want to just surprise my guest here.
My name is Trevor Sampson.
Oh, yes,
my
sir.
Goodness.
Good morning, Trevor.
Hi, Trev.
How's it going? I just feel prompted to just phone in to encourage you to continue to encourage the people out there, and not just musicians, everyone who loves Jesus, to continue to stay in love with him, because that's what worship's about, you know, really giving back to him what's rightfully his.
Amen.
Yeah.
Our love, our attention, our time, our life. Yes.
Absolutely.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. Thanks so much for calling in, Trevor. I know that he's a great, he's a good friend of,
my goodness,
of you guys, and you've worked with him a long time ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, God bless you in all your initiatives.
Thank you so much. Really appreciate the call.
Love you, Trevor.
Really appreciate the call. So yeah, on the subject of worship, worship as a lifestyle. Actually, worship has no other place but to be a lifestyle. We think that, okay, cool, I'm going to go to church, I'm going to worship God, and then I'm cool with him, and then I can go and just live my life.
Yeah.
We think that that's what sacrifice is. The Bible says that, mercy is better than sacrifice.
Obedience is better than sacrifice.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Obedience is better than sacrifice. Yeah. In other words, how we live a life of obedience is way more important to God than just doing all these rituals worship and then going out. I mean, I've known of people who were like, yeah, cool, I'm gonna go to church now, and then I'm all good, or I'm gonna go to mosque, and then I'm all good. I'm gonna go partying up. Nothing wrong with partying, don't get me wrong. Mm. But I'm gonna go and do all sorts of wrong things over the weekend. But at least I've paid my dues, and so I'm all good with God. God doesn't want us to just do rituals with him. He wants to have a relationship with us. And that, my dear friends, I believe is worship. It's to honor him for every single thing that we do. We've got another call, Chris from Johannesburg. What's up, Chris? Hello, Chris, are you there? Chris? Hello, Chris. We seem to have lost Chris there. Maybe he'll call us back again. I want to come back to the question. Hopefully Nathan is still listening, because I said I was going to ask Pastor Jay about this. I call him Uncle Jay because I call him, Dad Jay. Okay, cool. No, Chris is back. Before we get back to our question, let's see if Chris is on the line. Hello, Chris.
Hi, how's it going?
Good, thank you.
I have a question. I'll be full disclosure, I'm not religious, and I actually have a lot of questions regarding those in South Africa who claim to be so, particularly around critical thinking. Now, you mentioned something that slightly disturbed me, that I think puts a lot of the things off the table. One, mentioning teaching your kids Christianity or your beliefs at a young age almost as something divine and special and part of your responsibility to God. But I would argue that perhaps we should wait until kids are older, when they have their full critical faculties, to decide which religion and not be stuck, really, with the religion of their parents. I find most Christians haven't read other religious texts. They are religious because of where they were born, these kind of things. So I'm interested to think, you know, why not give them chance to fully embrace the world and then discover it not from a young age? Because if you can teach anybody from a young age, and they will believe throughout their life. And the other question, just in general, in critical thinking, the question that I always want to ask religious is, what would it take to change your mind? And if the answer is no, you automatically, I think, switch off a certain degree of your critical faculty. If there's nothing that's going to change your mind about that, the Bible is the one true book, and you know that that for me is almost anti-scientific. And as a country, what are we supposed to do with a nation that believes in spirits that doesn't require evidence? And this is a dangerous slope to go down. Yeah, thank you.
Absolutely, thank you so much, Chris, for your question. I'd like to obviously, you know, I'd like to take that on, and I'll open it up to, you know, to the panel here if they have, if they want to add anything on. You know, having grown up in a Christian family, I think for me it was good that my parents taught me what it is that they believed in. There comes a point in everybody's life where they have to make a choice. Not everybody who's taught Christianity at a young age follows the religion through. Not everybody who's taught any other religion sort of follows that thing through. At the same time, I believe that once you take on Christianity, even as a parent, you need to follow the rules of what Christianity says. So now the Bible says that, you know, lead your child in the way of the Lord so that when they're older, they will not depart from it. So, it is our, as Christians, it is, it is our responsibility mm-hmm. to do that.
Absolutely.
And, but at the same time, you know, it's not going, you know, we're not going, Jesus, 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 why are you not doing this? I believe that the first thing we need to do as Christians is to love, because God says that, I mean, because Jesus says that, and your commandment I give to you is that you love one another as I have loved you. So in other words, whether we're telling our children about God, whether we're living our lives, whether we're living our lives according to the Bible, if you take love out of it, that becomes religion. That's why I have friends who are not necessarily Christians, but I speak about my Christianity to them. But the thing is, I've always got to put love first, because once I take love away from that, it is just pure religion. So I think for anybody who believes in anything, you need to do what your constitution, whether it's the Bible, whether if you can call yourself a Muslim, you need to do what the Quran says, because or else you are separated from that, you know. Now we believe in the Bible, and that's what we're discussing on this show, which is called The Open Book. It's the Bible principles, then people can then just take those and then just do what they take from that and then make an informed decision there forward. That is because so many times people have spoken, you know, like, so many times we hear different things on how it is that we need to live our lives. And this show says, let's get rid of all of that. Let's strip that away. What does the Bible say? What does the Bible say? You know, and the Bible says, teach your child according to the ways of the Lord so that when they're older, they will not depart from it. So, thank you so much for that, because I really believe that it's a question that a lot of people have of why should you Bible bash your children, you know, in terms of teaching them about God. They should teach them about life. We send them to school every single day to learn about life. But, you know, I believe that, the home, you've got to teach your kids about your values and what it is that you're passionate about, so that whatever they choose later on, they will also be passionate about the things that they believe in. So let's not stunt what people believe in.
Absolutely. Nini? Yeah, I think it was a great question, and I love the fact that people can actually relate to the show in all spheres of life. I have four kids, obviously, and I think that it's very important that they understand other religions. It's very important that they know what is going on in the world. And that they have a concept of what other religions are about, and what it is that sets their religion apart.
Yeah.
Because ultimately, if you don't believe in what you do, then there's no need really for it, you know. And I think that what's great for me when I look at my girls are 16 and 15. We obviously did teach them the ways of the Bible, and we are still doing that. But we live in a society where all kinds of mindsets, not religions, and mindsets are out there. And it's up to that child to actually make their own choice. Yes, they might come back home sometimes and ask, you know, mommy, what are you saying about this? Or how do you feel about that? And I can give my opinion, but ultimately that child's going to be left to make their own decision. So, I think absolutely, that's a great thing, because you want that child to be able to actually decide for themselves. You know, exactly. You don't want to force something down their throat. You know, you want them to actually just live it for themselves.
I think also, you know, like, we teach our children these things because this is the best thing that we believe in. So we want to give them the very best of what we believe in. We don't want to give them something that we don't kind of believe in, just to kind of make them happy. We want to give them the best that we have, you know. That's why you don't let your children always, you know, choose their school.
You
send them to the best school that you think is going to be best for them.
Yeah, because you're the parent. Yeah,
because that is, like, you're the parent. When they're older, they can really just make their own decisions.
Yeah, but that's why I love what it says. It says train up a child in the way that he should go. Yeah. And when he's older, he will not depart therefrom.
In other words, he'll be able to make his own decisions.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You're training him. You're not telling him what to do. You're training him. And he can decide what he wants to do with the training.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
And so that's, I often say to people, when I preach, I say, look, when I preach to you, I preach to you from a perspective of my final authority, the word being my final authority. But until it becomes your final authority, it will mean nothing to you.
Yep, absolutely.
That's so awesome. That's what it is. Yeah,
well, we've nearly come to the end of the show today. I know it just goes by so quickly. I've got, you know, we've got the question here. Hold on, there it is. Oh yeah, from Nathan. Pastor Jay, does God punish? Oh, let me just read it again. Nathan said earlier, thank God for your show. Help my girlfriend, whom I love dearly, but lately she's under the impression that God is punishing her. Does God punish us?
Nope.
Is that their own?
That's own perception.
Yeah.
The thing is, the Bible says in this life, Paul says, in this life you will face trials and tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I've overcome. That's what he says. So people have this perception that if you become a Christian, it's all hunky-dory and it's all rosy. No. Read the word for what it is. It says in this life you will face trials and tribulation. So it's part of your walk. It's part of God maturing you in becoming that which he has called you before the foundation of the earth to become. Yeah? I mean, no. If people go to gym, why? And pick up weights, why? They want to become stronger. So if you don't face trials and tribulation, you will not become the person that God has called you to become. So trials and tribulation is part of your walk. Walking, the Bible says that we need to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. In other words, you need to reverence God for who he is, and God will then become that which he has called you to become in your life.
Thank you. Nini, last words?
I just want to say to that person that, you know, there is no such thing that God is busy punishing you. I think that we, obviously, when the decisions that we make in life, there are consequences to our decisions that we make. But God is not a God that punishes you. In fact, he loves you. And you know what? He's already forgotten about what you've done. He's looking at tomorrow and he's hoping for your future. So I just want to say to that person, man, just let it go, man. God loves you.
Absolutely. Well, I want to just thank my guest today, Janine. Thank you so much for coming in.
Such a pleasure.
Pastor Jay. Hopefully, you know, like, hopefully you guys are going to come back again.
Yes.
To give us some more of your nuggets. An hour.
Absolutely.
You're right, Duncan. An hour does seem a little bit short because there's just so much in the subject that we really can kind of get, you know, can kind of get into. But I also want to thank Chris because I know Chris is not a religious person, but that he listens in. And to anybody else who keeps listening, I believe that if you search, you will find. And absolutely, all of us are in that, are in that position, and we're just sharing about things that we found right here on the Open Book. Till next time, I'm Luis Obala, and see you again soon next Thursday. If you are with us, we love you guys. Have a wonderful day and week ahead of you. Bye. CliffCentral.com.